Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. LeBron James is turning 38 and makes it clear he wants to play for a winner. Can the Lakers provide him that? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. It's always free. It's never behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can join a growing and enthusiastic bunch of Lakers fans who are talking to us. They're talking to each other. Really vibrant community that's developing around that channel, which is pushing 10,000 subscribers now. We appreciate all the support there. I want to let you know that today's show is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. The Lakers starting a game Friday in Atlanta.
Atlanta.
So, you know, the Lakers trying to finish the road trip and enter the new year, having at least held sort of treaded water through December. These two games become really important for that. The bigger thing is how these games start to fit in. You know, they're pushing halfway through the season now, Andy, and you know, more reports are emerging. The Lakers aren't probably going to make, or certainly aren't currently set up to make, a major trade this season. In related news, Shams Charania was reporting that Anthony Davis likely out at least until mid-January. So if mid-January goes to, and we're talking somewhere between 10 and 15 games, I think, if you're being optimistic, before Anthony Davis comes back. And again, that's being optimistic based on the reporting. And that, Andy, is all in the context of what LeBron said on Wednesday, which he made it very clear after the loss in Miami. He is not here to sort of run out the clock and have everybody wave to him. He wants to be playing important basketball and playing for championships. It doesn't look like it's going to happen this year. And yeah, long-term prospects in LA aren't good either.
Adding another wrinkle to what you were talking about with that time AD's estimated to be out, let's just say, optimistically, he is back for the last week of January. That would give the Lakers roughly 2 weeks to make a decision before the February 9th trade deadline. And it becomes a really complex question unless the Lakers unexpectedly go on a run without Anthony Davis, or, you know, win more games than they lose without him. And all of a sudden you start getting a sign of, okay, this team has actually, however improbably, built a foundation that we can slide AD back into. And you know what? Maybe it does seem more wise to make a move, and that would dictate their decisions around the deadline, or the bottom just keeps falling out, at which point it becomes totally obvious. There's no reason to do this. If they kind of just sputter about win one, lose two, win two, lose two, that sort of thing, that might make sort of what the hell you do there, depending on if the rest of the West remains as fluid and seemingly unresolved as it is now. That could only make the question more murky for the Lakers.
I gotta be honest with you. I don't think.
I'm not saying it would for me.
We're doing it for them. We're doing it too. But you know, like this game, that game, like how many games later? I don't think, I've not gotten the impression at any point this year that the results on the floor have much to do with their decision making. I think they have made a decision that their option tree is better in the offseason than it is now. I think they made that decision right basically before the season started, when they, I guess, for whatever reason, decided to back out of the or not take the Buddy Hield deal, Buddy Hield, Miles Turner, that was reportedly there for them if they wanted it. And they were close to making going into training camp by all the reporting. I think from that point on, all the talks of we want to see what it looks like until Thanksgiving. We want to see what it looks like at Christmas. We want to see what I think it just is. Those are all signposts of we don't think this is going to be a viable market for us to turn ourselves into. Some, I think they've made that choice. And I think it's even easier now to do it without being results based, because I don't think the most appealing trade available, which was Heald and Turner, is there anymore. I just don't think that's an option for them right now, unless they get, you know, they go 2 unprotected picks, maybe, and all that stuff. Maybe it's there, but you know, they won. The Pacers won again on Thursday night. They're 2 games over 500. They're way out of the Wemby sweepstakes in terms of high lottery odds. And they're right in the middle of the Eastern Conference playoff race. They're not going to blow it up now. And so if that trade isn't available, Andy, I don't know what's out there that actually is impactful. But I think this decision was made a while ago that they didn't see the market there and they weren't going to make a move.
I mean, I tend to think you're correct. I'm just talking about all the different theoreticals. If nothing else, there is, say, splits going on inside the brain trust in terms of what to do. If there's not, because one thing we have heard is that there has not been full consensus. And perhaps that has gotten in the way of some degree of decisiveness in either direction. That being said, though, I tend to agree with you, because I've said going back to really the offseason, but ever since the season began, I have been getting a sense that they are growing increasingly pessimistic about the LeBron Anthony Davis Foundation and what can come from it, the strength of it, the viability of it. I understand where they're coming from in certain respects, because that is something that I had been talking about during the offseason. You know, going back to that idea of should you at least be considering trading Anthony Davis, or the question of LeBron's extension. And for a while there was that narrative that, you know, if they don't make a move this offseason, if they don't trade those two picks, LeBron's not going to end up extending, which I never believed anyway. But right. The question I kept asking was, are you sure you want to extend? Well,
I think your framing is certainly possible. I think it's either that or they're looking for the magic fix. They're looking for the big swing that can fix their problems in a way. I tend to think my version is more likely to be right than yours, because I think that requires them to believe that the star thing doesn't work and they're going to blow it up and start over again.
No. As I've said before, I think they're petrified at the prospect of actually blowing it up. They want the relevancy. I think they
would
keep them.
So what are you saying? That they'll just let them be terrible and not ever make a trade?
I think
because they don't think the foundation is worth preserving, but they won't try to improve it while it's here.
I think they might try to make some improvements, but I think their aggressiveness with it is going to be dictated a lot by how well the team is doing, as opposed to the idea of you have these two guys here. Of course you will try whatever you can.
Stop for a second, because I honestly think I may have been misunderstanding a lot of what you've been talking about when you talk about this idea of lack of faith in this core and what you do about it. Because I want to hear what that means in your mind for this summer. Because I want to do that, we want to talk about LeBron and what it means to try to trade LeBron, which means a discussion of who he is now and what that market looks like. So plenty to come, and we'll get to it next.
All right, so you're hanging out with some friends, putting back a few drinks, a few becomes a few too many, and the evening comes to an end, people start to head out, and you think of calling for a ride, but then you're like, nah, I live nearby, I can make it home, it's not a big deal, and what are the odds I'm going to get pulled over? And even if I did, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? My insurance goes up, I lose my license for a year, or I lose my job, I total my car, I injure somebody, I injure myself, I kill someone else. I mean, you can see where this is going. And everybody knows about the risks of drunk driving, and the results are tragic. They're often deadly, but that does not stop people from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. And that's why police officers are out there right now, particularly during the holiday season, looking for impaired drivers on our roads, and it's to save lives. So if you think that you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again, play it safe, plan ahead, get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life, someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Okay, so most people, I think, would make, when you hear the idea of the Lakers are unsure of the viability of the Anthony Davis, LeBron James core going forward, means that they're unwilling to invest more in it, and when the time comes, would even look into exploring trading it, breaking it up, trading it, getting picks, whatever it might be. You're basically saying that they're unsure of the core, but they're also scared to break it up. So let's say the season plays out the way it looks like it is going to. The Lakers struggle to make the play-in, currently look like they're going to miss the play-in. They miss the whole deal. Go into the offseason, they have the cap space, they have Anthony Davis, they have LeBron James and the two picks, because they haven't made a trade. What do you think they do then? If they don't that confidence, if you understand what I'm getting at, like, they still don't have confidence in the core, but now they have the opportunity to preserve it. What do you think they do?
Well, I mean, to some degree, I guess it depends on, has LeBron said he wants to stay, or has he said, trade me? If LeBron...
Let's say he hasn't said anything.
He hasn't said anything.
Show me. It's up to you. If you can fix this, if you can tell me that you think you can fix this, and show me moves that you can make that you think will be positive, that will help me, I am willing to. I'm willing to see what you guys can do. But I think under any circumstances, any moves that they would make would be risky. They would be,
yes.
The downside risk, no matter what they are, for the Lakers, would be really strong. There's no scenario which that isn't true. So what do you think they do?
I picture them swinging for a star, because that's what they always do. If they can't get a star, I imagine them looking to keep their powder relatively dry. I don't picture them committing to high-end role players for multiple years, because it's not what they do. But unless LeBron wants to be traded, I don't picture them giving up on it, even without the full confidence, because I think they are even more scared of life without established stars. I don't think they know what to do with it themselves as a franchise. So I think they would move forward with this without full confidence in it. But I think the lack of confidence in certain respects hurts their full willingness to, I don't want to say do whatever, because doing whatever can sometimes mean doing dumb things. Like, the Russell Westbrook trade was in a lot of ways a do whatever it takes type move that wasn't particularly smart. But I think this front office has very limited thinking in terms of what whatever means.
They would be very risk averse under this scenario that you're talking about.
I don't think some of my thinking on this is dictated by the fact that I don't think they're very good at team building. I don't think they think about team building in the way smart teams think about team building. So I don't know for sure if they would go for yet another year of minimum salary. They have too much cap space to get away with doing all minimum salaries.
Well, they wouldn't have to. The reason they've been doing that the last couple of years is they've had no choice but to do it that way.
No, but by minimum salaries, I don't mean literally veterans minimums. I mean like the minimal that you can get away with, 1 year deals, like a bunch of like 1 year, $6 to $7 million type things. And again, essentially just sort of keeping your powder dry, as opposed to the idea of what the Clippers do, for example, which is they are paying role players long-term deals because they want to build something real. And the best version of real requires a foundation that will cost you.
If I'm understanding you correctly, Andy, I think I am. This is the worst possible answer. I think, if you're a Laker fan, because what you're talking about, and I know you weren't trying to make people happy, you were trying to answer the question, but what you're talking about is a scenario in which it's basically stasis. They are neither really trying to build something meaningful going forward. They're not willing to pay sort of the cost of
the miles
of recognizing of the what's there isn't going to work and blowing it up. And they're not doing anything big enough to try to become meaningfully better either. That's a terrible scenario.
Look, I could very well be wrong about this. I know, for example, from the years that you and I covered what a lot of people treated as a rebuild by the Lakers. And we kept saying, you know, contrary to what a lot of people were saying, this is not a true rebuild. They are not they spent the last 2 or 3 years of Kobe's time with the Lakers actively not trying to rebuild. They were chasing 8 seeds with a depleted Kobe and falling ass backward into lottery picks. And thankfully, their worst laid plans did not work out despite all of their best intentions. And then once they really got into the period with the kids, which, by the way, they did a really good job selecting those guys, they were never fully committed to them in ways that go beyond the idea that all franchises will think about trading their young talent for a
No, it was, they were openly, it was, right. It was, they were only there to be traded for Anthony Davis. That was the only reason these players existed.
The only guy that I think they ever seemed really, for a while at least, committed to was Lonzo. And that was in part because I think they saw Lonzo as a star in a marketing, publicity, all that sense, until, you know, injuries and LeVar and LeBron's availability and yada, yada, yada changed the calculus. But no, I don't think they were ever fully devoted to the idea of let's build something with Ingram and Randall and Lonzo and Kuzma and, you know, pick some group of them. It's not what they do.
No, it's clearly they weren't doing that.
Right.
The other, I guess, part of that answer, these are themes I am sure we will return to, we will explore, because I don't know if I entirely agree with your framing, but it's certainly not unreal. It's not an unrealistic, hypothetical of how they would treat it. But let's say they go into the offseason and they now are in a world where you need to trade LeBron James. Mm-hmm. There are two things I think you need to understand, like to look at that. Like, who is the player? Like, what is he now? And then what do you think you'd get for him? What's the market? Those are related questions, obviously. So let's talk about them next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Rocket Money. Are you wasting money on subscriptions? If so, friendo, you are not alone. 80% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about. Maybe it's an unused Amazon Prime account, you know, just some different streaming service that you have never actually watched a single program on there. And there's a great app that I use that helps me keep track of all of my expenses. And because of it, I don't waste money on subscriptions that I don't use. You might've heard of it. It's called Rocket Money. It used to be known as Truebill. And the app shows you all of your subscriptions in one place, cancels what you don't want for you. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions that you didn't know you were paying for, like Napster or something ridiculous like that. So to cancel a subscription, all you have to do is just hit cancel next to the Napster in your world, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Cancel unnecessary subscriptions with Rocket Money today. Go to rocketmoney.com/lockedon. Seriously, this could save you hundreds of dollars a year. It's rocket.com/lockedon.
LeBron James, we mentioned at the top of the show, 38 years old. Happy birthday.
Man, it's funny. Like, we've talked before about like how unprecedented what LeBron is doing right now is. And you and I were talking before, like the only two players we can think of that might even be sort of comparable was Kareem in his 1986-87 season, year 17. He turned 39 at the end of it, but he spent most of it as 38. That year, third leading scorer in the Lakers, 17.5 points per game, 7 rebounds, 2.5 assists, like a block, 31 minutes per game, 78 games. played 31 in the playoffs, but, you know, had more talent and help around him, was not actually asked to carry anything.
Right.
And then Karl Malone probably comes the closest. 2002, he was 38 the whole year, season 16, but he played, I think, 3 years at Louisiana Tech. He led the Jazz 22.4 points per game, led the team with almost 9 rebounds per game, second on the team with 4.3 assists per game, and led the team in minutes by a lot. 38 per game, the closest was Stockton at 31. And that year in the playoffs, he averaged almost 41 minutes per game. And by then, if you count his college minutes, his regular season minutes were comparable to LeBron's, but LeBron just crushed him in playoff minutes, like in terms of comparable where they are then versus now. I still think it's unheard of.
There's nobody is doing what LeBron, you know, what LeBron, and, you know, as an aside, this is why you got to give the Lakers a pass for, like, you know, there's like the idea that they acquired this like old broken down Karl Malone. No, they didn't. Like, Karl Malone was Karl Malone basically until the Lakers got him and then he decided to get hurt. But, you know, LeBron is doing stuff like somebody noted in the post game in Miami, you know, hey, you scored 30 points a game as a 20-year-old and you didn't do it again until you were 37. Like, you know, that time in between. The notion of going, you know, being able to still score 30 points a game when you're 37 years old, be caring. It is pretty clear that while LeBron is no longer so dominant that he can basically carry anyone and anything into the playoffs, he is still in that, you know, elite class of players who you can construct a title team around. I think that's clear. You don't have to be the best player in the game by a fair margin for that to be true. The larger question, though, from that, okay, any team that acquires LeBron James is acquiring a guy who can be the centerpiece of a team. What does that mean in terms of being able to actually construct a trade market? Because the market for LeBron would be different contextually than any other market for a star that I can possibly think of.
It's so
38 odd. Years old, short-term contract, stated very clearly he wants to go play wherever his son happens to be in a couple of years. I said it this summer, when, you know, pre-extension, I wasn't exactly sure how large a market LeBron would have, which is one of the reasons I didn't think is, you know, like the concept of the threat of him leaving was that realistic. But if he asks where to go, I don't know how many teams would want him. And then I really don't know what they would give up. What do you trade, Andy, to get LeBron James for a year?
I would think that you would want assurances that he's going to opt into his player option for the last year.
I think would be the starting point. Sure.
Right. And I don't know for sure if LeBron would be willing to do that. Like, I don't know. I really, because it's been a long time since LeBron has really aggressively, you know, leveraged all of his looming exits to get what he wants. He really hadn't done that with the Lakers at all. But this is such a complex situation that he may realize, if I don't do that, I may not have takers. Because if I look like I'm a 1 year rental, we better win that year.
Right. You need to be instantly one LeBron James away from me. But then also too, you need to have enough stuff to make a trade viable. Because if you're from the Lakers' perspective, even if LeBron says he wants to go, if you have LeBron and Anthony Davis, if you trade one, you like, unless somehow you trade Anthony Davis and you bring back a different star, and somebody on the, and I apologize for remember, like for forgetting who it was on the YouTube page, did put out that scenario of attaching picks to Davis to get a different star into LA. I was like, that's intriguing. But short of a scenario like that, there's at least a lot of scenarios in which if you trade LeBron or if you trade AD, you're trading the other one too, because what's the point of having you know, LeBron and draft picks, you know. But if you can't get a lot of stuff for LeBron, if you're not going to get the Rudy Gobert five picks and the swaps and the young players even for LeBron, because he's just too old and the time commitment isn't there. But if you can't get two or three picks or a couple good young players or whatever it might be, and then you turn around and you're trying to trade Anthony Davis off a season where yet again he was hurt and he's a year older, and you know, that's what makes this hard for me. It's like there is definitely a line in there where even if you are Andy, like you say, they very well may be very nervous about that core, that duo. There still is a point at which you're just not getting enough back to make it worth trading them, and you're better off crossing your fingers and crossing your toes and running it back, even though you know the answer is probably going to be somewhere similar, not good enough at the very least.
And in the meantime, you have the stars, which I think they care about a lot. And you have if you really want to be cynical about this, even if the team isn't great, you still have a better chance at box office and selling seats. And this is a team that has had an unusually small postseason gate. You know, like going back to 2013, they have two home series, two in total, going back to 2013. One in 2013, one in 2021, because 2020, that whole thing was in the bubble. Every other year, they've missed the playoffs. That is a lot of gate they've been missing out on for a team that, as we've talked about before, they are, you know, the Buss family is extraordinarily wealthy by normal people standards. They are not wealthy at all by NBA ownership standards.
You know, playoff gate matters. That's a good point. And playoff gate matters.
I think, again, especially knowing the ethos of this organization, I think they may be more terrified at the prospect of going forward without a star to hitch their wagon to than they might be at the prospect of wasting their own time. I actually could be a factor.
It is the hard work is reconstructing a team. Even reconstructing a team in LA with the cachet of the Lakers, where a lot of people would want to play for you and all that kind of stuff. You still got to draft well. You got to construct a team. You got to make the right signings. You got to make the right trades. And they'll put a spin on it, and it's not impossible that they could be telling something with a grain of truth. But in a lot of ways, you could be talking about a situation where they have their choices made for them because the market's not good enough. Okay, the draft picks aren't there. The reconstructive material isn't there. But let's sign two or three two decent free agents. We are going to make a pick this year. It'll be wherever New Orleans picks, but it'll be a pick that they can use. They'll sign a couple guys. They'll use an exception. The roster won't look as threadbare as it does now. And hey, you know, if it stays healthy, we got a chance. Like they could do that.
I mean, here's what also makes that,
I wonder if that's sort of what they're hoping.
Look,
kind of comes about.
Here's what also makes it very difficult to predict, beyond the fact that just this front office has been so all over the place, it can just be very difficult to figure out what they'll do, period. You can make a very reasonable argument that, pragmatically speaking, their chances of building a quality team for LeBron and AD, unless they can find a deal before this deadline that is really more about next season, and just trying to create next season's team now and just start building, I know it's crazy, continuity for next year and moving forward, you could make a credible argument that they might have better odds, however difficult, this coming off season.
Yeah.
So you have both a credible argument and an excuse to kick the can down the road and maybe fall into magical thinking.
I think that's the scenario they've been planning on the entire season. I actually don't think they're wrong, because I don't think the trade is out there this year. The hard part comes if LeBron looks at them in the offseason and says, I want to go, because you can't. It's very difficult to play with him on your team if he doesn't want to be there. And, you know, we'll keep exploring it. But, like, this concept of trading LeBron is extraordinarily complicated. So we'll see what happens on Friday. And real quick, see what happens on Monday.
Before we go, just again, with LeBron turning 38, just putting in perspective what this means, to be a 38-year-old in the NBA, who made his debut in 2003, born in 1984. LeBron's birthday, December 30th, 1984, the number one movie of the week when LeBron was born, Beverly Hills Cop.
Wow.
And for the year 1984, the top five movies grossing were Ghostbusters, which was so long ago, it's been rebooted with Harold Ramis's deceased character as a grandfather. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which is about to get another installment where Harrison Ford looks like he could be somebody's great-grandfather. Gremlins. Karate Kid, which is, again, so long ago that it's been rebooted with the characters as adults. And Police Academy. The number one movie of the week when LeBron made his NBA debut, October 30th, I believe, 2003. Scary Movie 3.
It's been a minute since LeBron got in here, and
it's amazing.
We talked a lot about this on Thursday's show. It is worth. You're a LeBron fan. You're upset with what's happened with the Lakers. You are. You aren't. Whatever. Take the opportunity to appreciate just athletically what this guy has done. What his. I mean, it is absurd the level that he is still performing at, and the consistency of excellence from year one to year 20. Is something that we will not see again. So congratulations, Sim. Happy birthday. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show. I'll see what happens on Friday in Atlanta. It's a winnable game against a all-over-the-place Hawks team. Certainly Monday, a winnable game to try to round out the trip. Hope everybody has a great new year. We'll see you in 2023.